for his grace, his mercy, his comfort, his healing of our ears. Still waiting for Gay to get up here. That's Jesse. Well, it's pretty obvious that Glenn, Lotta, and family are gone this weekend, among others. But, you know, there's a scripture that's always been one of my favorites, especially when I'm either croaky or just not feeling that, you know, the voice is up there, and it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But, you know, there's more than that, because we as, I would say especially as a United States nation that strives at perfection, strives at all quality. Unfortunately, sometimes in that pursuit of excellence, we miss the heart of the issue. We miss that worship isn't supposed to be just how it sounds outside to our ears, but it's really what's going on inside. It's really what's happening in our very being. And we're learning that here at this faith family. We're learning that it's not just what we see that really matters, it's about what we don't see that really matters. It's the things that are invisible, and it's the things that are eternal. And our heart is an eternal part of us, and our spirit is an eternal part of us, and that's how we're to worship God, is in spirit and in truth. So this morning, let's try to, as we will do our best at creating an atmosphere that you can enter into, even if it doesn't go the way that you would think that it should sound, let's connect with our heart, and let's move beyond what we hear with the natural. If it sounds great, then praise the Lord, but let's pretend that it's just God in us. Let's pretend that we're entering in with a heavenly chorus. We're not entering in with just natural sounds. And I guarantee that if you take your focus off of this realm and set your focus on Him, you won't be disappointed. You won't be let down. So would you stand with me and let's prepare to worship. Father, we just thank You that You are so good, and that Your mercies are new every morning. They're new every day. And Lord, we want to enter into a place, Lord, of coming before Your throne of grace this morning and enjoying those mercies, enjoying the help that we need for our lives. And while we're there, Lord, we want to lift up Your name. We want to praise You. We want to join in with the chorus of heaven. We want to join in, Lord, with the angels that surround You, praising Your name, exalting You, saying, holy, holy, holy. We want to give You, Lord, the honor and the worship that You're due. So, Lord, we just invite You into this place, in our hearts to be manifested today, to become alive, to become real to us, to let us know that You're here in a significant way. For those of us, Lord, that have been weighted down and maybe distracted with life, I pray that You would just penetrate with Your presence through that and allow us to find the peace that passes all understanding, that will guard our hearts and our minds, that will allow us to hear Your heartbeat, to hear Your voice softly speaking. And we just commit this whole service into Your hands, Lord. We just place it at the altar right now. We just sacrifice, Lord, our hearts, our will, our ways into Your hands. Lord, we just thank You that You are our God and we are Your people. You are our Abba Father. You are our Daddy. You are our Comforter, Holy Spirit. And so we just rest in You this morning. We rest in You this morning. We just thank You that You are going to supernaturally empower us today. You're going to transform and change us to be more like You today. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. So we're going to be casual today. So if anybody wants to come down front, come on down. Let's do it family style. I wish we were in our living room because then we could all just be sitting around and having fun.
There's beauty in my brokenness. I've got true love instead of pain. Freedom, though you've captured me, I've got joy instead of mourning. There's beauty in my brokenness. I've got true love instead of pain. There's freedom, though you've captured me, I've got joy instead of mourning. You give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. Oh, you give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul.
My brokenness,
I've got true love instead of pain. There's freedom though you've captured me, I've got joy instead of mourning. You give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. Oh, you give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. So free, caught in your love for me. Never been more secure knowing your heart, Lord. Never been so free, caught in your love for me. Never been more secure knowing your heart, Lord. Never been so free, caught in your love for me. Never been more secure knowing your heart, Lord. Never been so free, caught in your love for me. Never been more secure knowing your heart. Down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. Oh, you give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. Oh, you give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. Oh, you give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. Oh, never been so free, caught in your love for me. Never been more secure knowing your heart, Lord. Never been so free, caught in your love for me. Never been more secure knowing your heart, Lord. Never been so free, caught in your love for me. Never been more secure knowing your heart, Lord. Thank you.
You're more real than the ground I'm standing on. You're more real than the wind in my lungs. Your thoughts define me. You're inside me. You're my reality.
Bye.
thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
Perfect in all of your ways, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us.
You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. So unexplainable, I can hardly think. Me only deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love.
As you call
me, deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. Call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. Good Father, it's who you are. It's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
You are good.
Set our focus and our gaze on you. We turn our attention to you, Lord. Just thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Voices. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Why don't you take a moment, go greet someone, give them a hug, see if they survived.
Check, check, test.
Good morning, family. Well, we survived. Haven't done that in a really long time. So, last week was our Fun Day Sunday. How many of you guys came for that? Did anybody enjoy it? We enjoyed it. It was blazing hot, I will just say. And I'm getting old because I can tell I don't like it. So Fun Day Sunday may not happen very often, unless somebody else plans it. I thought that it was a great idea at the beginning, but boy, the weather did not cooperate at all with me. I should have just plunged in. I did walk through. Did anybody walk through the waterfall sprinkler thing? Yeah, guys, it was awesome. You should have done that because it just would evaporate off your clothes. You wouldn't even be able to tell you got wet. It was awesome. My husband made that. Yay for Pastor Mike. Good job. Anyway, so we will plan it again, but we probably need to get like some kind of weather that can kind of sort of tell us what it's going to be like in a month so that we can have a better plan on what's going on. But it was really good, and the hot dogs were plentiful and all the food. And thank you to James and Stephanie. They aren't here, but they're the ones that were responsible for the cotton candy and the snow cone machine, which was awesome. And then Alveen, who also is not here, she got the popcorn machine from the hospital. And all of that stuff our church did not have to pay for. Praise God. So that is such a blessing. Amen. So when you guys see them, they're both out of town this week. Alveen and Rick's son's getting married, and they're there with him this weekend. And so when you see him next week, make sure and say thank you. And, you know, just really love up on them because they worked really hard to help bring all of it together, as did everybody else. And then we had the diehard that sat at a table painting faces the whole time, Melissa Watkins. She did such a good job on our face painting. And she, poor bless her heart, it was really hot. So anyway. And yes, the balloon man, that was Lotta's dad, and he made balloons for everybody. And he, you guys, nonstop, and I have to tell you, that man gets hired on at fairs. So for him to come to here to do that, what a blessing. And again, he did it out of the goodness of his heart. So that is just so awesome. The Lord was so good, and it was a really great time. So we'll do it again. I have to recover first. Anyway, okay, so August 1st, which is a week from this coming Saturday, I believe, will be our, what? Is it this coming Saturday? Oh, boy, life is really going by fast. This Saturday at Northtown at 9 a.m. is 31 Women. And we hope that everybody can join us. Please come at least a half hour early if you want to get through the line to get a coffee and something to eat, because they don't have a whole lot of help up until 9 o'clock. So the line gets filled up, and then, you know, you have to stand there and you miss part of the meeting if you're waiting in line to get your drink. So come early if you want to get your drink and get all of that. But you guys, honestly, we have such a great time. I mean, we really, really do. And our hearts as women, sorry, men, our hearts as women get so connected at that meeting. I just love it. So 9 a.m., Northtown, downtown, and then come early if you want a drink. And then on August 9th, is Sunday, is Family Communion. And then August 12th is our One Life Family Picnic. We normally do three picnics in a summer, but because how hot it's been, we did the Fun Day Sunday, and now we're doing our picnic, which is August 12th. And we are going to be meeting, do we know where at yet? Franklin Park this time, right by where the pool is, Franklin Park at 6 p.m., and it's going to be a potluck, so we will send around a sign-up sheet. You guys will get to sign up what you want to bring, and I think the church is doing something different and not doing the pulled pork this time. Am I right about that? Anyway, I know, it's so good. So Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. And then we're going to do this up really big. We're hoping to get a big water slide blow up. We're going to try. I'm not promising, but we're going to try. So we're going to really do a big thing for this. So please put it on your calendar and plan to go, because that's going to be a lot of fun. And then Friday the 14th at 6:30 p.m. at Glenn and Lotta's home is worship night. And we'll be meeting there. And I'll tell you, that is off the hook, is it not? It's so good. Really, really good. So, okay, so I think that's it. I'm going to ask the kids to come up and see me. I'm so happy to have our grandbabies with us. They stayed at uncle's and aunt's house last night, and they get to come to church today, and they live in Cleveland, and they got to come visit, and we're so happy to have them. And then here's all of these wonderful, wonderful little babes in Jesus. Love you guys. So you're going to go down, and you're going to have fun with Melissa Watkins today. She's going to be your teacher. So we're going to be praying over you guys. So everybody come this way. Close up. I don't have cooties. And if I did, I wouldn't tell you. All right, Father, everybody reach your hand this way. Father, we just pray over every one of these precious, precious babies, praying that you would be with them, that you would just guide their heart. Help them today to be able to receive all that you have for them and more. And Father, we pray for Melissa, that you would be with her and help her to be able to handle all these babies. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, out the door you go. Follow Melissa out. You guys have fun.
Well, good morning again. Wearing another hat here for a moment. I'm going to be the sharer today. Let's see. My volume's off. There we go. Hang on a second. I'm going to de-music it so it doesn't make a whole bunch of noises here for us. There we go. Okay, so it was almost a month now, that we took communion together, and we took it without the elements. 2 weeks? It was 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago. There we go. 3 weeks ago. And it'll be a month from whatever the next communion is. So, yeah, it's 3 weeks. Tells you how. That last week really messed me up. I just have to tell you, I still have religious bones in my body, because I'm like, we're not, because it didn't seem like it was church. But we're the church. So even though I tell you guys, you know, it's a new day and all this stuff, there's still stuff in the back of my mind that goes, when things happen a certain way. So squealed to a halt for a little bit, and I had to cast that demon out. But it's like, no, we're just going to enjoy ourselves here in the Lord. And I did. We had a great time. But it was hot. Woo. That may have been adding to the discomfort. So if you turn to me with me in your Bibles to Matthew 5. And I thought I was going to be sharing something else. I was telling Gay, I was sitting in or laying in bed, I think it was yesterday morning, and I just started thinking about the Word, thinking about the Lord, and I usually always go to the Jeremiah scripture, and I stand at the pathway, and I ask God to reveal to me, you know, what he has for me in this pathway. Because, you know, how many know the pathway is like every day? You know, it's not like you go through the door one time and or the pathway one time and you're all good. It's like you have to choose to follow the higher path. You have to choose to follow the way that doesn't make sense to your natural mind. And it's a battle. You know, I understand when it was communicated that it's a fighting a good fight of faith. Whoops. It's fighting, that's all ice, so that's all good, yeah. Fighting a good fight of faith. And, you know, again, I always thought that meant, well, I'm going to do everything I can to battle so I don't have to sin, you know, and making sin the main focus when really sin was taken care of at the cross. You know, sin was taken care of in baptism. When I was buried with Christ in baptism, I died to my old nature. And it was just the enemy who kept trying to make me focus on that. But as I've fought this good fight of faith and decided to do the battle of where I say, you know what, I'm not going to believe the things that I see with my natural eyes. I'm not going to believe the circumstances around me. I'm not going to believe even the way I feel, because the way I feel is even a lie. Because in Christ, I'm complete. In Christ, I'm in Christ. I'm in a place of joy and love and peace. And even though all my circumstances can look contrary to that. Anybody else agree? So that particular communion we took, getting back to communion, broke something for us. I don't know if anybody else sensed it. But when we by faith stepped through the veil, which is Jesus' flesh, when he was on that cross and his flesh was being, you know, ripped because of the nails and also because of the thorn of crown of thorns that he had in his head and the lacerations that he had from the whipping, that flesh that was torn represented the temple being ripped. And when he died, that temple veil ripped completely. And that wasn't the only one that ripped. See, so many of us think, well, the temple in Jerusalem torn in half. No, the veil that was blocking us in heaven was torn. And so when we stepped in by faith, it's all by faith. You know, I played the guitar by faith, folks. I did. I played by faith. I said, okay, we have a need here. I've been, you know, playing guitar for a while. And I think because I've been playing, you know, the iPad on Sunday mornings, it's actually instruments, but it's on the iPad. It's increased my confidence. So I said, you know, I think we can do this a few songs. And I know it wasn't perfect, you know, but the thing is, it's our heart. It is our heart. And the more that we can realize that it's not about how everything sounds. I mean, I got to tell you, I have some of my most amazing worship. There's no instruments. There's no music. I'm just entering into his presence and singing him a song, a personal song of devotion. And it is directly from my heart to his heart. And you know what he does with that? He stores that in a place because he treasures that. He treasures anything that's spontaneous from us. You know, those of you who are married here, women especially, how much do you appreciate flowers when you get them on Mother's Day? Well, you do. And how much do you appreciate them on your anniversary? Well, you do. You do appreciate them. And how much do you appreciate them on Valentine's Day? Some of them are starting to help us. See, there's three at least you should get. But how much do you really appreciate them when there's nobody saying no date, no nothing, and you get them? See, it's spontaneous. It's saying that there's an act of love that's being released to your loved one. And how many know the Father's our loved one? Jesus is our loved one. He's our beloved. And if we could just get a glimpse of how much he loves us, I think then in return we'd be able to truly love him. So the only way that we can really know the love of the Father is to have cleansed hearts, to be purified, to be undefiled. And that's a tall order, because it seems that we're in a world that surrounds us, that encapsulates us, that pollutes us to the place where our hearts seems to always be fighting corruption. But I want to let you know that I believe that we're in a day, we're in a new day, that where we can have our hearts purified. Because God's doing a new work. Does that mean that you couldn't have them purified before? No, I believe you could have. But I think it would have taken such effort and such devotion that most people couldn't even think about it. But God is drawing closer to us now. Is anybody else sensing that? Anybody feeling the wooing, the breathing of the Holy Spirit on you, calling your name at times and just saying, hey, son, daughter, I love you. And that's maybe all he has to say is just, I love you, because you didn't sense love before then. Or maybe he's saying, you know what? It's okay. It's okay that you've messed up. It's okay that you've done things wrong, because my love is so great that I believe you're going to be greater than any mistake you've ever made. My plan for you is so great that my supernatural empowerment in your life, and I'm working so deep in you that it's going to work out. See, I hear that often, and it's good. Because a lot of times, you look at what you've produced, and you go, oh, I think there could be more, especially when you look at others. Wow, look at that castle over there, and look at this grass hut. And that person built that castle, and God helped them build that castle. And you start comparing your castle or their castle with your grass hut. And how many knows that it doesn't matter if you have a castle? You can look around and find somebody with a bigger castle. More gold, more garages, more drawbridge that covers the moat, all that thing. You can find people, if you compare yourself, that are doing better than you in God. At least you think they are, until you go inside and you look at it. Oh, that's infested with rats. That's infested with cockroaches. You can't always tell what's going on inside from the outside. So we need to really know what's going on in our inside. So with that said, I'm finally getting to the verse. Matthew 5. Now, this is called the Beatitudes. In other words, they're Attitudes. They're attitudes that we should be in. I like that. They're attitudes that we need to try to keep in our heart. And I just want to throw this out as a quick, I was going to do like a deeper teaching on this, and something just stopped me. I'm finding more and more interesting to see God in his way that he does things through systems and different ways through the Bible, numbers and plans of dates and all those things. Because I realize that he doesn't do anything by accident. He doesn't do anything by coincidence. It's all for a plan. And so when I was looking at this, I said, well, there's blesseds here. I wonder how many blesseds. I do that. So I counted. There was 9 blesseds. I go, oh, that's interesting. There's 9 blesseds. So I said, let's look up 9 and see. Well, there's 9. I knew this. There were 9 fruits of the Spirit. There were 9 gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. So we see that 9 is a pretty important number. So I said, okay, so why is there only 9 here? And so, or why did Jesus only say 9 blesseds? And how many of you know that 9 is really the number of, like, it's a completion number. It's like a finality number. It's like an end number. Did you know that when Jesus was on the cross, that he gave up his spirit at the ninth hour? How many know that that was a final act that he did? He said, before he gave up his breath, he said, it is finished. So I don't think it's any coincidence that it was the ninth hour. And this is another interesting thing about nines. If you take 9 times 9, you get 81. Now, what happens when you take 8 plus 1? You get 9. Did you know that you can multiply 9 by any number? Any number. I mean, it could be 1,000 digits. And if you add up all those numbers that were created, they'll always come back to 9. 9 is the last number that is actually a number. The rest are all made up of the other numbers, if you think about that. A 10 is a 1 and a 0. So, very interesting. I believe that Jesus giving us these blesseds is telling us that these are not meant to be independent from each other. These, just as the fruit of the Spirit's not to be independent from each other. You know, how many know that, you know, you just can't just have the fruit of peace in your life, you know? You know, because, you know, you're just going to be like a hippie and you're not going to care about anybody else. Hey, peace. It's like, yeah, my dog just died. Oh, peace. You know, it's not going to cut it, you know. So we have to have all of the fruits of the spirits for us to be what? Like Jesus, balanced. But today, after saying that, I want to focus on one. And I might come back to these because I was really saying these would be really good to teach, Lord, and I have to really get a release to teach something, but I'm going to really try to twist his arm on this one, because I really think there's such great truths in here that apply today of this new dimension, this new awakening that God's bringing to his people. But today I want to focus on one, and that's verse 8. So if you would turn with me again to Matthew 5, verse 8. It just says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, I think this is an interesting statement because for the longest time, when I've read this, I've always thought, well, pure in heart. I'm pure in heart because of what Jesus did, and I'm going to see God at the end of my life. So it's saying that if I believe in Jesus, that he's going to purify my heart, and then I'll be able to see God. But there's problems with that thinking. And it was because I was putting everything off till after I died. I was putting off, you know, for instance, seeing God face to face, truly, until I died. Because I thought, well, you know, It's going to be fine if I never see him. Jesus says, you know, more blessed are those who never see me and believe. But I said, you know, someday I'll get to see God. And over the past few years, I have a desire to see his face. Now, do I get to see his face when I come to him by faith? Absolutely. But I have a desire to see him in such a way that just like the hills melt like wax, I melt like wax. And that all that's left is God in me. Nothing left of me. That's a desire that I have. But I put that off to after I died. How about this? Does anybody think that they're going to be walking around talking probably to saints of old when they get to heaven? You know, I've heard so many people, oh, I just can't wait to get to heaven. I want to go ask Adam why he ate the apple after, and I want to ask, why did he listen to his wife? Why listen, you know, all these different things. Or I want to sit down with Paul, you know, and ask him, you know, what was it like, you know, at the stoning of Stephen or whatever, you know, or ask somebody who was, what was it like when the Red Sea parted? So everybody can kind of go, you know what, I'm going to be able to do that when I go to heaven. But why is it something that we put off? When the saints were walking around after Jesus was resurrected, these were dead saints walking around declaring what he had done. And yet we think, well, that's taboo because, well, we're surrounded by them, Hebrews 12 says, right? Are we not surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses?
That's them. Now, I'm not telling you to start going out and just, you know, talking in the air to imaginary people. But I'm just saying, why do we have this expectation that it's after we die that we get to inherit these things? I mean, why is God telling us to not focus on the things that we see, but on the things that we don't see? Do you think that saints are something we don't see? How about angels? Do you guys think that when you get to heaven, you're going to see angels? Well, we know they're around his throne. And right now it says that on Mount Zion, where we are gathered, there's an innumerable, that means you can't count them, company of angels that we're already interacting with. But most of us think that we're not even going to have any interaction with any angel until we're actually gone. When Jesus was ministered to them by all the time. You guys know that? It said ministered continually to him. See, we have this idea that to be spiritual in its fullness, we got to be dead. The whole problem is we're already dead. He's already done it. He already hung on the cross. And you know what he said? It's not just I who hung on the cross, Jesus, but you hung on the cross with me when you became my follower. When you allowed that seed from heaven to come in, that incorruptible seed, you then died with me on the cross. So we're dead. So if we're dead, do you think that now qualifies us to enter into all the fullness? I think it does. But what is stopping us from seeing this? What is stopping us from entering into this fullness? Because I believe as we enter into this fullness that God desires for us, that we're not going to look the same. We're not going to talk the same. We're not going to treat people the same. We're not going to look at the world the same. We're not going to look at each other the same. We're going to see each other through eyes of eternal life because we're living in eternal life. See, when we see each other through the eyes of the natural, when we see each other through the eyes of the flesh, when we see each other through eyes of the old nature, which is already dead, we see each other in the corruption that we're in. We see each other from the viewpoint of our inadequacies. So if we have inadequacies, Lord knows you must have them, right? So until we come to the place that we're complete in Christ, we're already made righteous, we're already done, so to speak. Some people say, you know, we're in the oven, we're still baking, but God's work in us is a complete work. The only thing that's left is our revelation of the completeness in us. And we all experience that at different times. There's things that we're doing, and we'll say, oh, I don't do that anymore. I used to do that. I don't do that anymore. I didn't even try to stop doing that. I just don't do that anymore. What's happened? Something in you has stirred that completeness that is done in you, that is Christ, and you are now living and acting differently. So how does this handle then, or how did we handle then, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I believe Jesus was talking about blessed are the pure in heart here. Here. Yes, we'll see him. I think that's a given that we'll see him when we go to heaven. Does anybody else agree? I mean, I just don't think that that's an issue. And I don't think a pure heart is that big of an issue in heaven because we're going to see him as he is. And what do we become like? We become like him. So there's a purity of heart that we can enter into. I don't want to say achieve, because so many of us want to achieve things. I strive for years to achieve a pure heart. I strive for years to achieve a disciplined lifestyle. I strive for years to maintain a quality prayer life. I strived and I worked at doing things to say it was all good. But then once I stopped doing them, guess what? It wasn't all good. Because it was my effort that qualified me. It was my effort that justified me. It was my effort that made me right in God's eyes. You say, Pastor Mike, that's pretty strong. Well, I don't think I would say that verbally, but my actions declared it.
My actions declared it because I did not feel all the time like I was able to approach his throne. That it was a throne of grace ready for any moment in my life. So, blessed are the pure in heart. Now, this word pure is a very interesting word. It literally means completely clean. It means nothing else with it. It means like you have water that has 99.9999% purity in it, but it still has that 0.00001. That's not pure. So this is talking about something that's impossible for us to achieve on our own. Thus our dilemma. Thus our frustration. Because we hear that, you know, we've received new hearts, right? Taking a stony heart and giving you a heart of flesh. But even that heart of flesh has the corruption from the previous owner, so to speak, our old man. So how does this purification take place? I believe it takes place by us knowing who we are. And the only time that we'll truly know who we are is when we know who he is. And know about his love. And know about his full acceptance of us. See, if you don't feel fully accepted by God, then you're seeing him wrong. You're seeing him through bad teaching. You're seeing him through a bad perception. Because we are fully accepted, says, in the beloved. Well, does that mean if I, you know, do this and do that, that, you know, it doesn't matter? No, of course it matters, because there's consequences when you do this and do that. I'm not saying what you do, but you know how it is. It's like, some people say, well, if I'm fully accepted, then I don't have to worry about what I do. Well, if you're thinking that way, then your heart's not even pure. Because, you know, this is not a game that we try to fool God. Newsflash, he can't be fooled. You can't trick him. You can't play games with him. Well, you can play games with him, but he's just sitting there going like, oh my goodness. When are you going to learn? Yeah, you're going to walk off that cliff again. I don't want you to, but blessed. You know what this word blessed means? This is a Greek word that means fully expanded. So what it means is that all of the goodness that God wants to bestow on us is bestowed on us. All the riches of him is bestowed on us. And that's an adjective. So that kind of blessing comes in seeing God. And I don't believe it's just seeing God. I believe it's seeing his whole kingdom. Because, you know, God isn't just limited to just his throne and just Jesus. It says that he's in all things and through all things. All things consist by him and for him. I mean, we live and move and have our being in him before we're even saved. And so when we are interacting with his kingdom, we're seeing God. We see God here even in nature. How many have gone out like up to the hills and the mountains and you're just like, oh my goodness, your majesty. You know, just a beautiful mountain scene, and you realize that that's just part of his handiwork. You know, just part of the creation that he's made. And this is a fallen state creation. What do you think creation looked like? What do you think the earth looked like before it fell? You know, what's that? More magnificent than everything. I believe that. I believe that creation in its groaning is wanting to become again what it was. What it once had was God's glory fully manifested in it. So blessed are the pure in heart. I believe that the purity of heart is something that God's asking us to go for, to seek, to desire. You know, because the heart, it says in another scripture that it's deceitfully wicked. The heart is the root of the matter of things. You know, you can have people that will say certain things, it'll come out of their mouth, boom, 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 and they'll try to, you know, do certain things. But then you hang around them a while, and all of a sudden their heart starts being revealed. And maybe they start acting a certain way, or maybe they'll say something out of their mouth without even thinking about it. Out of that abundance of who they are, or the state that they're in right now, I won't say who they are, especially if they're believers, because who they are, that's a lie. But that state that they're in, the corruption of their heart is revealed. But I believe that we're in a day when we can have pure hearts. And I believe it comes from focusing on what God's already done in us. That we're a completed work. That we're not looking at, again, someone else or even our old condition. We're looking at the new condition that God has made us. New creations. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything in us has become new. That just sounds like foreign to most of us. All things become new? You should have just saw what I did 2 minutes ago. Right? You should have just heard what I thought in my head just now when you said that. It doesn't matter what we see. It matters what the word says. Is the word true? If it's true, let God be true and everybody else that we know, including ourselves, a liar then, if it's not lining up with the word. So know this, that I believe that Jesus put this here in this other 9 blesseds so that we could shoot for something that was attainable. And not just when we die. That there's a purity of heart that we can enter into now. You know, when we take communion, it says that a couple different places that God abides in us and we abide in him. Now, that is the case right now as believers. He abides in us and we dwell in him. But when we focus on communion, when we focus on the body and the blood, it's like activated in a greater way. It's like faith comes alive and that reality starts to take place. And so what happens when we focus on him abiding in us and us abiding in him? I believe we're changed. How about when we read the word, the mirror that the word is, and we read a passage and it reflects back to us our current condition, and we see where God wants us. And we see by faith that we can be what that's showing. We activate our faith in that, and it transforms and changes us. And I believe the place that it starts is our heart. And sometimes it takes a chisel to knock something that's been there a long time. And how many know a chisel pounding can hurt on something? Can leave a mark. And sometimes it's like a surgeon's scalpel. It just comes in and it just makes a small incision, takes out the corruption, and leaves what God wants. But we have to believe that full transformation is what God wants. Not just, oh, I'm going to, you know, be changed a little bit here and changed a little bit there. And then finally, when I get to heaven, that's when I can receive my full transformation. Now, most of you say, if I said that, oh, amen. But I'm telling you, I think we're setting our goal too low. I think we're shooting for something that most everyone else attains. And there's nothing wrong with it. Many saints have gone before us. Many believers have gone before us. But what if today God is saying, children, I want you to be transformed into my image. I want your heart to be so pure that the rest of you reflects that purity. He says, I believe if we have hearts that are 100% pure, are we going to go and do things that are against God at all? Or against his principles or his plans? Or do anything that would reveal defilement? Anybody? No, I believe that, as it says there, blessed is the pure in heart, for we'll see God. And you may just be surprised because you may see him in the mirror. You may see that we become an express image of him here. Where when people interact with us and see us, they don't see our old nature, our old ways. They see his nature and his ways. They see his life being released. And I believe as that happens, we're going to see true transformation in our city, in our homes, in our family, in our nation. Yeah, we need a revolution. And there's people talking about there, we need revolution. And there's people that talk about, you know, we may need to get arms together and because, you know, no telling what the government's going to do. But we don't need that kind of revolution. We need a revolution where we go back to the very beginning where we're in the purity of God. When we're in his likeness and image. So next time we take communion and we enter in beyond the veil, because that's where we're going to take communion from now on. If you take communion at home this week, don't just, again, stay on this side. Go through the veil and say, I receive your DNA. I receive your life. I receive your light. I receive your energy. I receive your power. I receive everything that you have that you want for me right now. When you're reading your word, do the same thing. Let's stop just doing things and let's enter into them by faith. In other words, go home and start saying, blessed are the pure in heart. Father, how do I join with you to make this heart pure? How do I enter into a partnership with you in heaven to make this heart pure? Father, if you need to, let all of the angels of heaven work to make me that pure vessel that you desire. We have to start taking the word and chewing on it and putting it on ourselves and us putting ourselves into it. We can't just do surface anymore. Not if we're going to have pure hearts. Not if we're going to be truly transforming the very environment around us. Because I believe that's what God desires. And he's not asking us to do anything that we're not capable of doing. You know why? Because it's not us doing it. It's him in us. And he knows that Jesus fully did everything that's necessary for each and every one of us to be equipped 100%. And you don't necessarily need somebody to come by and teach you everything that you need to do this, because Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth dwelling inside of you. And he will fully, fully lead and guide you into every bit of truth you need. So as I've said before, you don't truly need me. I can come along and I can help and I can encourage, but you truly need God, Holy Spirit. You truly need to just give yourself, not just in a kind of surface kind of way that we do so many times, but in a way where you just put your entire being into the Scripture. There's many here more. I told you there's 8 others that, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Go and meditate on these things. You know, I have to give you a testimony. It was about a year ago, maybe a little over a year. I really felt challenged by the Lord, because I'm one that likes to dig and hunt and find things, and you know, I would read to like build myself up in my almost holy faith. I mean, I had good motives sometimes. And the Lord really challenged me that on how much I was reading, but how much was truly not changing me. So he just reminded me of some verses that I knew, and he had me to start meditating on those. Just meditating on those verses. And I've been in those verses and been in those verses and been in those verses. Obviously, I still read the Word, and through God's grace, I've read the Word many times, so I have that. But instead of just going for quantity, I went for the quality of the Word. And now I try to place myself in the Word. For instance, when I go to that Jeremiah 6 scripture, I stand there at that crossroads, and now over the past couple of months, a door is in my heart now. I see that door because I know that Jesus is that pathway. That's truly the pathway that I'm going to go. And I see myself stepping through that door and stepping into that rest and stepping into that yoke that is easy and that burden that is light and finding that rest for my soul that Jesus is. And you say, well, Pastor Mike, what does all that do? Well, I can't tell you all that it does because it's a mystery. It's inside of me. It's igniting things in me that were hidden, that were dormant, that maybe haven't ever come alive. And it's making it a reality, my faith a reality. I mean, would it be nice to have my faith be a reality that where I walk by somebody and my shadow hits them and, you know, they're healed? Yeah, that would be awesome, but I think you can't get your cart before your horse. You know, that reality that Peter was walking in is the kind of stuff that we're talking about. He realized that he was a son. He realized that he just wasn't just a servant of God, but that he was also a child of God that carried that manifest presence of God, and that where he went, the environment changed. It wasn't just because he had been with Jesus. It's because he had been with Jesus, and then he took Jesus in. And then he didn't just take Jesus in, he started living like him. Not to imitate, but out of a relationship and a nature that was God-breathed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity today, and thank you for this word. Lord, we do. We want to enter in to the reality of who you are, the reality of who you are in us. We want to be pure in heart, Lord. Not just so we can just see you, Lord, when we die, but, Lord, so that we can see you here, be transformed, God, into your image, into your likeness. We just surrender, Lord, our own thoughts, our own ways, our own plans, our own desires, Lord, into your hands. And pray, Lord, that you would just bring to life, God, the reality of who you are. Bring to life, Lord, the reality of who we are. Bring to life, Lord, the reality that we do not have to stay the same. And we don't have to settle, Lord, for just little incremental changes until we die. And then finally, we'll be transformed, Lord. We receive the truth, God, that we are new creations. Lord, we receive the truth that it's no longer us who lives, but it's you who lives in us. Lord, we receive the truth that we were buried with you in baptism, Lord, and that our old man, our old nature is dead. Lord, we receive the reality, Lord, and the truth that you are at work in us. You have started this work, and you are the one that will be faithful to complete it. So we submit, Lord, to your work in our lives. Now, Lord, I pray that you would help your word come alive to us. That it would not just be, Lord, information that we learn, but it would be a doorway and a gateway, Lord, to your very heart. And that through that reality, Lord, of seeing you and experiencing you and communing with you, Lord, on a daily basis, that we'll take on, Lord, your image. We'll take on, Lord, your express image. So that then when they see us, Lord, they don't see us, God, they see you.
We just yield to this process, Lord. We surrender to your work. We thank you, Lord, that you are at work in us, Lord, to complete this work. We enter in by faith, Lord, with you. We partnership with you, Lord, in our transformation. We do. We release, Lord, all of the resources necessary right now in the heavenlies to help us become who you've called us to be. Tutor and teach us, God. Holy Spirit, be our instructor. Be our guide. Be truth to us. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. I thought I was going to just have a real quick sermon and... You guys are going to really beat the Baptist today, but if you race, you might be able to still beat one or two. So, Gay's like shaking her head. Well, praise the Lord. God bless you all. You get to have a pretty cool day, I think, today. Does anybody have any questions? I think I'm going to just do that, just in case. Or any comments. Somebody had a really good comment last week, or 2 weeks ago. When I was sharing, and just want to make sure nobody didn't have something on their heart. Verse, or somebody like, oh, I just wanted to let, so, okay, good. Well, God bless you. Have a great day.